another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 195, for December 3rd, 2018. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Boop Show, episode 195. I'm Scott Johnson. Brian Dunaway right over there dancing like a freak.
How you doing, Scott?
Fine. I like when you dance. Makes me feel happy inside.
Makes me feel out of breath.
Yeah, you a little
I really need to exercise more.
A little pooped after that. I get it. I see how it
no,
is.
No, I'm good. I'm good. It's actually a lot better. I had a last week, in addition to many family things, I had a touch of the bronchitis. Touch of the bronchitis. So I'm doing better now.
Yar.
So good.
Sounds like a pirate disease. I got a touch of the bronchitis.
Yar, I need some oranges. Oh, that's for the scurvy.
Scurvy. Is scurvy really a thing? I always thought it was fake. Is it real?
No, that was a real thing. No, the lack of citrus, right?
Yeah, and what'd that do to you? What'd that give you?
You got the scurvy.
I might have the scurvy because I rarely eat citrus anymore.
I think things have citrus in it that we don't think about, and I think when you're eating nothing but boat food, fish mostly,
right.
I think you realize, oh crap, I need some citrus in my diet.
You know, fish is the opposite of citrus, I think.
It is. It's a bit of a base, isn't it?
Yeah, you could call it fistress. That's what you're getting instead of citrus. Yeah.
Fistful of fish. Of course, I don't know. Every stupid pirate movie or TV show I've ever seen, they always have like buckets of food. They always have it in like big barrels.
Yeah, they got like chum and salted beef or pork they'll
right,
take there on the boat.
Nothing like when I played Sid Meier's Pirates. Nothing.
No, nothing like that. That's a great game, by the way.
No, that's a great game.
It was a great game. I'd love a redo of that. Hey, we're back at it, you guys. That means, sorry about last week. Busy days, busy times, holidays, all that. Brian was super busy and it just didn't happen. So I played Diablo for those people instead, live on the air. Yeah, that was fun. They got to watch me crank on my wizard. And sounds like a euphemism. It's not. The other guy, the bone guy I named Bones. He's a necromancer and his name is Bones. And he's pretty cool too. So that was fun.
Half the fun of playing any Diablo game is trying to figure out a clever name for your class.
Yeah, and I got this. I continue to have this weird thing where I'm just all in on Diablo 3 again, like it's new. It's just crazy how I do this. I rotate back around to it occasionally. This time, just real hard, and I don't know why. But I've been playing that too. I also just got X4 Foundations, which is a big sprawling space game that I love. You know, I love those. That just came out. It's got some bugs, few issues. They've hot fixed a bunch of it. Seems like it's smoothing out all right. And I should next week have plenty to say about that. So hold on to your butts for that. The next episode of the Boop, we'll talk about
X4. X4. So that's the fourth in the series.
It is. There was an X3, which people didn't love as much. Two people were completely in love with. One was a big hit. And X4 is called X4 Foundations. And even though, like a lot of these games, they're big and sprawling and they launch with bugs, this is a very attentive developer. They tend to patch very quickly and take care of stuff as they find it, and so I'm not too worried about it. Right now it's running like butter on my machine, so very happy with it. Just picked that up, and I'll talk about
now,
that
are
next
you,
week.
Are you playing on the Mac, or are you got a gaming PC?
Gaming PC.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a dedicated gaming PC for all my PC gaming needs. And I do all my production stuff on a Mac. And then a PlayStation, no Xbox One, because I just never had a great reason, honestly.
Is there any better reason than $199 for the 1 terabyte Xbox One S right now?
It's a pretty good deal. I mean, I'd think about it, but I don't want an S, I want an X. If I'm going to get one, I'm getting an X. I got it.
Yeah, but that's still going to run you around $354.
Yeah,
right
or more. So, I mean, like $499, yeah. Aren't they? Or they were when they launched. Whatever.
Well, it's according to what you get.
Oh, I got you.
I believe. But you might be right. They might. It's not cheap. It's that's new console prices.
I feel like my I've got this combination right now that I'm mostly playing. It's usually PC and also a Switch. And I will talk about this game next week as well. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
Ooh.
Which I picked up or got from a fantastic fan. He sent this to me. He had an extra.
And you were giving away a copy of that too, weren't
you? Yeah, we're going to give away the other guy. What's the other character you get?
Eevee, I think you said it was.
Eevee is correct. Yeah.
Right.
Giving that away on TMS on Wednesday. Oh, I should have saved it for this show. That would have been perfect for this show.
That would have been perfect too. But hey, come on over. The people here at the Boop Show are probably people who listen to TMS.
Yeah. And I don't have anything mean to say about the Xbox One. I just kind of get all I want from my PlayStation 4, and I don't really feel the need to have two competing consoles at that level. I feel like the Switch is in its own weird category, so it ends up kind of filling a portability need that I have. And also Nintendo makes, you know, some of the best games ever made. So, you know, I like the slow trickle of those.
Don't get too prickly, people. I'm getting, not for me, but the family is getting an Xbox One S.
Nice.
For the Christmas time. So there'll be a little bit of rotation.
Oh, check this out. That Pokemon game came with this ball. Pokeball here. And Pokeball. I haven't synced it yet, but you can see it flashing.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, it's like, is that spinning? It's flashing.
It's flashing, yeah. It's like a little analog stick, actually, on top here. Right. It's a heavy matte finished ball, and it's actually a controller. So I haven't tried it yet, but the idea is you click and throw it at your screen, or you don't throw it at the screen.
You better put that strap on, yeah, Scott. Put that strap on.
Always wear your strap on. So I got that always on. Wear your strap on. And then you throw the ball, and then it's motion controlled, so it knows where it's going and all that. I haven't tried it yet, but I will.
Do you catch Pokemons with that? Is that the idea?
Oh yeah,
or do you release your Pokemon with that?
You catch them. I don't know about releasing them, but I know you catch them for sure. I think to release them, they just fight. I don't think you have to do anything else.
Right, fight.
I like the graphics in that game, but I'll talk about.
In the cartoon, you just have to throw your ball to for your Pokemon to enter the field to fight.
Oh yeah, and I don't have to be Ash here. I can be just my own kind of dude. Which I like.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to be Ash. Ash can bite me.
No. So you got like a little me, the M-I-I?
No, it's like like Ash-like characters. They're just, get a bunch of alternatives of faces and colors and hair and all that.
Right.
So that's
no Magikarp.
No,
right?
No. Not yet. I'm sure he's in there somewhere, isn't he? Probably.
Right.
I think all of them are in here. Anyway, it's I like it, what it's doing graphically. It makes me very excited for the next... for the planned Animal Crossing Switch game, because I can see a lot of similarities in terms of like walk into this house, do this thing, come out, plan a deal. Like it's got a very, very clean, very cool look to it. But like I said, I'll give that a full looking at next week. This is just a little mention that I got this going. I got X4 going. But instead, Brian, let me tell you what I played first.
Ooh, tell me what you played.
And actually, I was going to talk about this last week, but We got the busy. So here's what we got. Have you ever played My Time in Portia?
Yeah, is that Ellen's wife?
No.
Is that,
isn't that? It is. It's Portia. I'm sorry. It's Portia, not Portia.
Oh, Portia. Okay, Portia. I'm sorry. I always say Portia.
Yeah,
but
no.
It is Portia. You're
it's
right.
Portia, I think, is how you're supposed to say it.
Right.
It is Stardew Valley. In 3D, basically.
Ooh, you're playing this on your Oculus, or is
just like a third person behind the shoulder kind of deal. Cool. Whereas, you know, where Stardew Valley is this flat 2D 16-bit looking thing. It's the same kind of principle. Your idea, your goal here after you make your dude or your lady is you run out there and you start farming and building stuff and crafting things and chopping down trees and using what you got from the trees to build some more stuff. You start out on a boat. It feels very Wind Waker at first.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because I like Wind Waker. Oh, got a recommendation. At the very beginning of the game, and it's still technically it's still early access, although very quickly here it's coming to Switch, so I assume it's exiting early access soon. And I think it was only $19 on sale, which is why I got it. I don't know, maybe it was less than that. Yeah, it was. It was 15. It's normally 29 or something. So I got it for half off.
Nice.
For the fall sale stuff. Anyway.
Was that the big Steam fall sale? Because I didn't get anything.
Well, good for you. You're better than me, because I ended up spending a little bit of money. Not too much, but I think I picked up maybe two games. This was one of them. And it's got this kind of, fantastical world, but also in a lot of ways the world's very basic and normal. And your job is you get to this place. Oh, and what I was going to say is when you're making your character, it gives you the option to have a boy's voice, a female voice, or a girl's voice. Or sorry, that's redundant. Female voice or male voice or no voice. I'm going to tell you right now, the answer to this is take the no voice option. It's
nice.
Terrible. The dialogue is read by monkeys. It's the worst thing you've ever heard. It's so bad. Like, it's so bad.
Do you think the fact that... The thing that makes me think that, a couple of things. First of all, they give you a no voice option. It's like, it sounds like one of those last minute things. It's like, what if people just don't want either one of these voices? Yeah, we didn't really spend a lot of time on either one of these. Maybe we just should just skip it.
Well, I think there is some of that going on. By the way, the whole thing looks very Studio Ghibli, Miyazaki movie. That's the graphical treatment you're looking at here. And so I chose voice, unfortunately, and I got the worst male voice for this character ever. I should have recorded some. I think it might be placeholder, though, for the early access, and they're going to fill all that in with some decent VO. I can't tell for sure. But the principle here is the same as if you've played Stardew Valley or to some level Harvest Moon games, a little bit of Animal Crossing in there. You can fish, you can chop, you can get stone from hacking away at that with a pickaxe. You build the pickaxe. It's not a survival game. These tools don't wear out and die. You just make one, and then you can upgrade them later and get better ones. I mean, if you've played Stardew Valley, you know exactly what I'm talking about here, and the game is pretty much that template because it also has all the social stuff. Go into town, talk to the dude. Hey, I think I like that lady. I might ask her on a date. Let me give her a gift first because she won't talk to me unless I give her a gift, that kind of stuff. So it's got all the relationship-y
just
stuff.
Just like in real life.
Yeah, and you have a day-night cycle, and you can stay up till 3 a.m., which is better than the 10 p.m. you get in freaking Stardew Valley. But
that's the truth.
Yeah, so you can be out there working, but you also have a energy level, and if you go over that, you'll be exhausted and you can't do anything, so you may as well just go home. And when you sleep, it saves the game and takes you to the next day. There's no reason not to just sleep.
Right.
So there's no reason not to go to bed, or, you know, there's nothing you're going to miss out on. Although there's sometimes events like there's a fishing contest or the in town, there's the something festival. And so if you don't go to that, you'll miss it until the next time it comes around the next year or whatever. But it's that game.
How fast is time moving?
Oh,
is
it's like plenty fast. Yeah, it's like it's like, I don't know what to compare it to. It's probably like, it's like Stardew Valley. You didn't play Stardew Valley, did you?
Yeah, I played a little Stardew Valley. I've got a frame of reference.
Okay,
there
yeah. If you played that at all or even just a little bit, you kind of have an idea of what I'm talking about. And it's kind of that. I like it a lot, actually. It's currently enjoying a pretty high rating on Steam. There's some glitch. I think things in some ways are a little stiff and rigid animation-wise. A few things, just polished stuff that they could certainly tweak and deal with between now and when they actually release the thing. But I'm having a really good time with it. I like it quite a bit. And
at $20, that's not too bad. Too bad of an investment.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah. Is there any deal is showing that you can get it off Fanatical right now, which is a site I usually go to get my Steam games because there's usually lots of good sales on bundles and things, and $13.39 is the current price on that, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I don't know what people are waiting for, though, because I guess they're waiting for it to release, because if you do go to isthereanydeal.com, by the way, they don't sponsor us. It's just a place that I enjoy going to, and
like
I
it. Sure.
Keep up with all the prices. There's stats on there that tell you how many people are waiting and how many people have collected it. So you can put this on your list, and then when you get it, you collect it, and you add it to your list. And there's 4,342 people waiting, and only 732 people have actually collected it. So I'm curious.
I think it's because it's about to come out. It's about to come out for real. I think they're just waiting for that. I mean, you probably shouldn't, though, because the prices usually go up on release.
Yeah, I mean, because $13.39, $15, Steam had, like you said, had on sale for like $16 or something. So, I mean, that's a good deal. I might have to pick this one up. I like Stardew Valley. I don't think I was into it as much as you.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like these games. My favorite of all these games is, I just have fond feelings for Animal Crossing. These definitely scratch that itch. I mean, if I'm honest, what I'm really waiting for is Animal Crossing on the Switch. But this is a nice little get-me-by sort of experience.
Does the story explain kind of unique name, my time in Portia.
It's a place. It's a place. It's this, just this place. Just a place. And there's, okay. There's some mystery. You're supposed to figure out some of the story. And, you know, like I found some ancient ruins and the mayor said, oh, you can mine those for copper, gold, and iron. Go down there with the thing and mine it. Watch out for creatures, though. Take this sword just in case. And I went fishing
take
once.
Take this sword just in case.
I found a better sword. Or no, it was a tennis racket with better stats on it. I found that fishing it and pulled it out of the water fishing. And I use that now when I fight creatures. It's pretty great. But it's, yeah, it's just a weird one of those. And I think it's a good one of those. I'm generally impressed. I think there's a lot of little nooks and crannies that could use some polish before they release it. I think a Switch version sounds pretty neat. But I don't know, you know, like some other fonts are weird. I don't know. It's stuff like that. Like
that's If you don't know Scott, he is a font man.
Well, I'm just a UI guy. I like good, smart UI. I like polished menus, smart menus. I like not a lot of clicking to get to what I need to get to. Like I always really appreciate that. And this thing's fine. It's just a little rough on some of those edges, like three or four fonts used in the same place, which is like a big no-no if you know typography at all. So it's a little picky and nitpicky, I admit. But anyway, it's My Time at Portia, or however you say it, P-O-R-T-A-T-I-A.
I like Portia better.
I think it's Portia. It's not Portia. I just keep saying that.
Yeah, this is fun.
People should check it out. It's on Steam, coming to Switch, and possibly other platforms, although I don't know if they're on Play. I don't know if there's a PlayStation or Xbox plan, but I think it would be good on those devices as well. And it's not particularly difficult, which is partly what I like about it. Not that I just like easy things, but I like to just get in, play, have fun, not worry too much. Kind of have a little TV show going on in the background. Like, this is just a nice escape, kind of relaxing kind of deal. And I'd recommend
it. I need that. It's a good time for that.
Yeah. And don't forget, pick up everything because you can sell stuff for big money and then you got more money. Money's good in this game. It's important. It's
money's
important
good. Yeah. Unlike most games.
Yeah, unlike this most game. Games, this game has got some money. Everybody likes money. Right.
Get your in the money. Land of Portia,
yeah,
money is a necessity.
In the land of Porta Potia, we all go and have fun. All right. That's that game. Tell me about Fallout 76, because you went ahead and picked it up, and what did you think?
Well, you know, I didn't actually pick it up necessarily. Now, I've already... It's good, because it may be good or bad. Right now, you may be going, oh, no, please don't talk about Fallout 76. I've heard so much over the last few weeks. I'm so sick of the complaining and the excusing, whatever side you're on how you feel about how Fallout 76 came out and the game that it currently is, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. We have a lot of
it's
people.
It's okay to have it.
You and I have mutual friends that are really digging it. And I want to say hats off to those guys for super digging it. I also picked it up and ended up not keeping it.
Interesting.
I didn't like it. It feels like a survival game with a Fallout skin on it, and I don't like survival games. So
I went the route which I usually do, which is I did the same thing with God of War.
Yeah.
A lot of hype behind it, and I knew it was either going to be fantastic, it was going to meet all my expectations, or I was going to hate it. And I rented it first from the Redbox, $7 for 3 nights. Gives you enough time to play like around, you know, between 5 to 8 hours,
sure,
according to how your weekend goes. Yeah. And so I did the same thing here with Fallout 76. I picked it up, played it about 5 hours, and decided that I was going to wait just a little bit longer before I purchased it. I'm still going to purchase Fallout 76. I found things to like about the game. I found a lot of things not to like about the game, and I was able to adjust my expectations by actually taking a little taste from the rental.
PC version has some pretty good mods, by the way, already that are helping a lot of the problems I had with it. So I'm probably going to end up with this game at some point. I just need some tweaks maybe, or I don't know.
Yeah.
It feels really barren and
exactly
weird to me right now.
I need tweaks, and I need them to stay diligent because they're getting so much heat. I'm afraid they're going to kind of just kind of back away from the table and kind of go, we're just going to pretend like this didn't happen.
It's like, and move on. It's like Dr. Pot in the chat just says, he says, I'm loving it, glitches and all. And that's how most of my friends feel about it. They're digging it. I don't know why there has been otherwise a very general overall kind of backlash against it, because I didn't think it was that bad. I just don't think it's bad. I think it's just not for me. And I right. love this world. I love Fallout games, but I want more, I don't know, crafted story. And I want more of an RPG and not a
more crafted game. Story. That's we're on the same page with that. Now, yeah. we kind of knew this was not, it was going to be more multiplayer focused and not really story based, but that's not Fallout to me. Fallout to me is immersion. Even though they kind of let you kind of do your thing, it's always been about story to me. And, I had mentioned this on Twitter, and Nicole, remember her, right?
Oh,
fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nicole Spag kind of called me out a little bit, because what I said was, I said something similar to, like, on Twitter. I was like, yeah, I wish there was, I would have been a little bit happier if that had been more of a, you know, a kind of a storyline, kind of single player kind of campaign kind of thing. And she rightly stated, well, you know, there's plenty of story there. And I'm like, eh, yeah, but this is what I think about the story. So the reason why I think about the story is because in a usual single player, you know, with a multiplayer, so you usually have, in a lot of games, they have, you know, single player one side and multiplayer one side, and single player is all about the story and some learning about how the game works.
Yeah.
The story feels like everything I do, every character I meet, feels like they are just trying to teach me how to be better at being a multiplayer.
Well, yeah,
so I don't feel like it is going anywhere. I don't feel like the characters, and that's just me. Some people don't hold story above all. You know, some people like game mechanics better than anything, and that's fine. If the game mechanics work for you and Fallout 76 is that for you, that's great. I personally feel like the story, everything that I'm getting from the characters feels very absent. It feels very hollow. All the way from the beginning, and they intentionally do some of it, but it kind of felt like a cheat, because where you wake up at in the vault, mm-hmm. the character is explained as someone who just woke up late and yeah. everybody else has left.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's it. That's all the character I get is yeah. I woke up late and everybody is gone, and that excuses why I'm walking through this big vault, going up to tables and seeing balloons everywhere and. Mm-hmm. Picking up my merch, you know, picking up my stuff that I'm going to need to survive with, it felt kind of empty and hollow to me. But maybe, like I said, maybe people are so excited, you know, just being in that world and, you know, the game mechanics of it seem to work for them. And, well, and that's fine.
Bethesda supports their games. I have little right. doubt that the future Absolutely. Of this game is strong, and future installments of the game will also be strong. And I'm excited about it just generally from that perspective. My first impressions, though, is it's for people who really like to build bases, not have a ton mm-hmm. of story, and run around and craft stuff. And that is awesome that they're finding this to be their thing. I am stoked for them, but boy, right. aren't they sensitive if you even suggest you don't. You may not like it as much as they do, and they all lose their minds and go on a 14-day campaign to try to convince you otherwise. And that's fine. I'm like I say, I am stoked for them. Like I am, you know, there's certain games I'll play that other people don't dig on.
Yeah. And you try to convince them.
Yeah.
That's our whole gig here on the Boop Show, pretty much, is me trying to convince you to play some dumb game and you trying to convince me to play some sure. dumb game and where sure. we enjoy it.
Sure. I just think people are weird that way. Like if you're liking it, ignore everybody right. who doesn't and just play it. Yeah, and enjoy it, because they're going to support it. Bethesda always does. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Everything will be fine.
They'll get there. I'm concerned that they won't be able to. They can't go back in and develop the character. I feel like this character that you're playing as feels the most hollow, and the reason why is because it's a multiplayer experience. You're supposed to put yourself into it, but I don't like that for some reason. And maybe I didn't see that coming, and maybe I should have. But
well, we kind of knew what they were doing. Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah. The way I look at this game is an interim thing. It's not. This is not the future of all Fallout games. If it is, no. we're maybe in trouble.
Yeah.
But if they will have proper, and they've said before, we fully intend to keep supporting single player epic adventures. If that's true, if they really mean that when they say that, I expect this to be kind of a little in-between thing for a different kind of player. That's a little bit like right. Elder Scrolls Online is for a different kind of player, where there's a lot of people waiting around for Elder Scrolls 6. I'll be one of the people waiting around for Fallout 5. Like,
right.
If they mean what they say, then this is a fills a niche, and that's great. This should, I think it should totally exist and be a thing.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, we'll see.
Hey, there's one more thing I want to talk about attached to Fallout 76, and I'm just really, I'm getting tired of seeing it, and it's maybe my gripe. I don't like the label entitled when it comes to video games. And the reason why I don't like that term is because I don't think it's about entitlement when you complain about a game. Like, a lot of people are saying, well, what'd you want it? Would it be like everything that you want it to be? Who do you think you are? And it's like, yeah, but I still have the right to complain about it. You know, when I go to McDonald's and I don't like the McRib, that doesn't make me entitled. It just makes me, you know,
it just means you don't like the McRib. Yeah, I'm not demanding anything. Like,
no, and if I don't like it, and I'm like, well, you know, I may not even demand something. I may just go like, ah, you know, that McRib is nasty. Will it be good? Mustard.
Yeah.
And you know, I think mustard would have been spot on. Don't call me entitled just because I'm bitching about some stupid things. I'm paying a price for an item. And I expect a certain item, and if I don't get it, don't get me wrong.
If you don't get what you want, then you don't get it. Like,
right.
And I think you know, for the players that complain about the game that don't like it, great, don't like it, but don't ruin harsh on everyone else's good time. And all those people who are having a good time, don't act like everyone else is stupid for not liking it. Just play your game. Like, they don't. They're not going to complain with you anyway. So right. What does it matter? You don't need to convince anybody of anything. Just play it.
And with all that said, I'm still planning on getting Fallout 76, but I am waiting for the price. And the price has dropped a couple of times, even before, you know, last couple of weeks, $35.
Yeah, that did not make players very happy, though. That always pisses them off.
That never makes players happy when you immediately drop the price of your game after someone else paid $60 for it, and 2 weeks later is $40. Nobody likes that.
No,
it doesn't bother me.
The new Tomb Raider did that. They, like, a month later, it was like $35, and everybody who spent $60 was pissed. And I think that kind of happened here as well. I mean, Bethesda kind of had a better excuse because they were in the midst of also sales, like digital game sales season, so they could kind of justify it. But 30 days after release of a major AAA title is a pretty big deal.
It puts Bethesda in a tough spot, and it puts the fans in a tough spot because especially if you're depending so much on multiplayer, you got to have enough people playing on the servers to make it fun at that level. And if the game is not selling like you expect it to, you gotta do it. You gotta drop the price to get those people in there, or no one's gonna be happy. You know, what do you do?
Sidian says Bethesda didn't do it, retailers did. I don't think that's true. They can't just willy-nilly do that. And besides, we're talking digital prices as well. And digital prices are, in fact, that was Bethesda, because they have their own launcher now for the PC version, and they dropped the price to $35. They are the retailer, so I don't think that counts in this case. Anyway.
It's settling down. The price went back up again recently, and it'll probably settle in around $49. And I'll probably pick it up when it hits around $39.99.
$35 to $39, I think, is a sweet spot for what you're supposed to get here. And I would probably pick it up again for that. You know.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about. That's what I, as a gamer, am willing to pay for a half game. To me, if it's mostly multiplayer with very little single player elements, I feel that those games, when I'm purchasing because of the competition out in the market, I like to pay around $40 for those. If you give me multiplayer and a single player, heck, even a single player, to me, I value single player so much, I'm willing to spend the $60. And I know the other people are too, for just the multiplayer, but that's just me as a consumer.
Yeah. Well, to everyone who's enjoying it, I'm glad you are, and keep on playing.
Yes.
It.
And everyone who's hating it, have fun.
Just don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
Don't spend your money. Go do something else. Let them have
it. But I get it also. I don't want to say that either, because then there's those Fallout fans who are like, I followed everything, and they feel totally invested. It does feel unfair.
Do you ever bleed for no reason? Do you ever just bleed?
I am constantly bleeding right now. Excuse me for a minute.
Look at this. Right here. I don't know how I did that.
Is Fallout 76 making you bleed?
Yeah, I don't know what I did. I must have jabbed something on my way down here or something, because I didn't feel anything. It doesn't hurt. I'm just suddenly right. dripping blood out of my arm.
That is huge blood too, Scott. Yeah. That is like
let's see that again.
Look at this. Wait, oh, warning to the chat room.
Yeah, if you don't like blood,
you can't deal with blood.
So it started right here. It started right there, and this is all like, and then became kind of cool down there. I don't know what's going on.
If you start feeling lightheaded, let us know.
Oh, I'm totally fine. I didn't even know it until I noticed my shirt's got red drops on it. So nice job wearing a white shirt today, Scott. Perfect timing.
Good job, Scott.
All right, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my past and my current day, my present. That involves a little game back in the early 2000s called Neverwinter Nights, and there is an enhanced edition on PCs that was only like $450 or something on sale. So I said, well, duh, let's get that again. Let's see what's up. I was kind of hoping it would be a little more remastered than it is. It is widescreen. It is high def now. It contains all the great systems that BioWare put in that thing years ago. You can build your own campaigns and your friends can run them, and you can basically play DM mode if you want, or you can just, you know, build out cool campaigns, which is what I did back in the day. And I loved it. I loved working on this thing. It was one of my favorite things ever to hit PC gaming at the time. And I'm happy to report that all that stuff is still there, but boy, oh boy, is it ugly compared to what we can do today. So I'm also happy to report, apparently there's a whole bunch of fans who are modding this thing out with a brand new texture packs with all new characters stuff. Like, they're going to make it look not like a 15-year-old game.
Right.
And that's
exciting.
But
the engine stuff in the background has been fixed. You're just talking about texturing over top of that.
Yeah, just really just the frosting on the cake is just old. It just looks like poop. This is like early 3D stuff.
I used to love this game, and I haven't played it in years. And in my head, it looks so much better than even this enhanced edition in my head.
Yeah, and you're not wrong to feel that way. The menus are still very cool. How you make characters is either, depending on how you want to do it, it can be very complicated, D&D style, pain in the butt, or, you know, really meticulous, or you can just kind of do recommended stuff. You know, here's a build for fighters, here's a build for rangers, and just kind of pick it. But it's D&D second edition, maybe third, I can't remember. That's the only other problem with it, is it's an old version of D&D. I kind of wish some of the better things about newer versions of D&D were in here. But also, it's a video game, so it doesn't really matter that much. And then what's cool is you go into the multiplayer stuff, and there are maybe more than this, but I saw hundreds of open servers with people's custom stuff going on in there. And there were like stories and characters and NPCs and missions to go on and gold to earn and multiplayer to have happen. And it's great. It's good to see this little community doing stuff again, all these years later. And I really like it. There, chat, you can see how ugly those character models are. Oh man, they're bad. They don't even have fingers. They just have stumps.
Globs.
Remember the old video game fist? It's just like a fist and there's no tangible digits. It's a bit like that. But it, you know, again, runs at nice resolutions, and it's definitely better than it used to be. But I think that stuff could use a serious overhaul. And apparently it's happening, and it's all fan-based, so that's cool. I'll keep my eye on it. But for $4, it was a total no-brainer, and I just grabbed it.
Yeah.
So this is called Neverwinter Nights. This is the original Neverwinter Nights. We're not talking about the new MMO thing with the same name, and we're not talking about Neverwinter 2. I don't think there's an enhanced edition of that even coming. But Neverwinter Nights from, like, 2001 or 2, whatever it was, this is that, and it's a nice little package. And if you just, the creativity on display from the community is really great. Like, just, you know, and I should mention all the modules, all the campaign stuff, everything the game ever came with, including its DLC back in the day, all of that's in here. So you just get it all. Right. It's like $4.
So is there a mod menu in Neverwinter Nights that you download these mods, or is it done through the Steam?
I don't remember if it was Steamworks or if it was built in, if it was Workshop or if it was built in. Now I can't remember. I think it was probably Workshop, if I remember right, after probably I launched it last week. But
and I love going to, by the way, ModDB, if you've never been there, moddb.com is a great place to get mods that aren't built into the games, but developers working and adding stuff on.
Yeah.
I love that place. I know we've talked about it before on the show, but.
Right. And you really can't lose. Someone in the chat says, how can you lose at $4? You really can't. And the stat building's cool. It's true to D&D, but also feels like a video game. You know, like there's just a lot to like here. And I used to have, I have so many fond feelings for this game, and it's just nice to see this come back. I don't know who has the rights to it now, because this is BioWare before they were bought by EA. And right. So I guess this is just a, I don't know who's putting it on Steam or making this happen. I probably could have looked it up, but I think it's neat. It's real cool.
I'm posting a link to the ModDB mods for Neverwinter.
Oh yeah, let's take a look at these.
Neverwinter Nights, and just threw that in there. BioWare, of course, originally released in 2002.
Yeah.
And they always, it seems like somebody always mods just about every game they can and put some Star Wars stuff in there. And I would kind of interested in the Star Wars one.
There's so much stuff in here. Star Wars Contrition. Star Wars Contrition is a persistent world set in the Knights of the Old Republic era for Neverwinter Nights. Diamond. Contrition uses new content generated, something. There's, and it'll tell you if it works with the enhanced edition or the old one or not, or both or whatever.
And just as recently as November, just as recently as a couple of days ago, they had one called the Great Escape Pack.
Let's take a look at this.
Series of modifications set in a grim, gritty, and dark world.
Yeah, look at this.
Oh, and it's also got some suggested sexual content, but no nudity.
Yeah, no, it's just words. Because you put in all your own dialogue. I used to make my own modules, and you can have your NPCs say whatever, and then depending on what the player would choose for dialogue stuff, you could trigger all sorts of stuff. I could have a guy, you could walk up to him, go, and he would say, "Hello, traveler. Would you like the blue pill or the red pill?" And you could have it go, "Well, I'll have the red pill." And he takes the red pill, and 8 dragons spawn. I mean, you could do whatever you want. That's why it was so cool. It was really way ahead of its time, and I don't know if there's even anything like it now. Like, you can do a little bit of this with, what's it called? Oh, shoot. Yeah. What's it called?
That thing.
The really popular D&D-like top-down isometric RPG came out last year. It's a sequel. Divinity 2. Divinity 2. That game has some of this in it, like some of this DM stuff where you can kind of run campaigns and do stuff on lands and that sort of thing. But nothing even close to this. Like, this is just, this was crazy back in the day. Really, really forward-thinking, genre-busting stuff at the time.
Genre-busting.
Yeah. It's really neat. So, it's nice to see all of those old BioWare games have slowly made it to enhanced editions. You had, your Icewind Dales are all enhanced now. You got your original Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 have enhanced high-def versions. I played that game. Oh my gosh, I play those games to death. They're just some of my favorite RPGs, and this was a really cool step in a cool new direction. And because it was all in 3D at the time, it was like, whoa, dude, imagine if Diablo looked like this, I remember saying. Because at the time, Diablo was out, but it was 2. It came out the year before, or maybe even that year. And it looked.
Were you still single when you did that? Was that
No, I was married.
Oh, dude! And yeah. Your wife is like, what? What?
I done got married in the 90s. The 1990s. Anyway, it's pretty cool. Y'all should get it, play it, have it, live it, be it.
Love it.
All that.
Roll around in it.
Tell me about Pocket Mine 3. What's up with that?
Oh, hey, you know, I used to love the Pocket Mine, which I had on my Android, and I believe I had it on the iOS device as well. But I definitely had it on my Android mobile phone. That's right, Android mobile phone. But they've had Part 3 out now, and I was like, because I went to go download it again, because I was craving one of those kind of click diggers. You just break blocks, and you just keep going deeper and deeper, and your pickaxe. Each round, your pickaxe has so many hits to it, and you can dig so deep, and you try to get down to the very bottom of the mine every time with your pickaxe. If you fail, you lose. You spin out like a Pac-Man, pew, 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 and you have to start over. You don't get many rewards that way.
Yeah.
So this is just more of that Pocket Mine where you're clicking on little blocks. If a block is made out of sand, only takes one hit usually. If it's made out of stone, takes 3 hits. You get so many hits to dig all the way to the bottom. You're blind to what's below you. You may open up a cavernous area, hopefully, with one pick, and hopefully blow up a whole big area and kind of get down further through the mine quickly. If you click on that and opens up an area, there may be a monster in this Pocket Mine 3. There's a lot more monsters than I was used to. And they'll kill you. And now you also have, not only do you have your pickaxe for going down, you also have a a rating for how many times you can fight and battle. So there's like a shield points, like a like your ability to defend. And also there's a lot more explosions in this one, just a lot more of pocket mine.
Did you play the first two, I assume?
I played the first two. Okay. I played the crap out of the first one, and I loved the simplicity to it. It was just straightforward, and there was no trash to it. You just had your little guy, and you would go down. Oh, by the way, usually you have like energy, so you can usually play five times. Energy replenishes every 15 minutes, so you can play like five times in a 15-minute span. But
one of those.
You can also, yeah, you can also like you could if you get to a certain level, you get free energy, and if you do certain things. So even though it was really set to only allow you to play for 15 minutes at a time, yeah, you usually could end up playing for 45 minutes to an hour, which is really as much as you really need to be playing any mobile tap game.
Yeah,
anyway.
You may only want to ever play an hour total of one of these things, but
right.
I get it. Yeah.
So this is like more of the same, but I like it, and I don't like it more than the original. This one has a lot more layers to it, if you will. There's a lot more events you can play, and there's gear that you can equip. Before, there was very limited gear. This one has a whole bunch of gear, anywhere between what outfit you're wearing, what pickaxe you're using, what boots you're wearing, hats. They all enhance certain blocks that you hit. So, like, there's some blocks that are fireworks. So if you hit that firework block, it'll throw out a couple of fireworks. If you up your levels on your boots where you have enhanced fireworks, you may get three or four. So you slowly, you rogue yourself up, and you just keep getting a little bit better gear, a little bit better gear, and a little better cards, because the cards also play a role. Every time you start a new round, it'll throw up randomly from the cards that you have enhancements to the dungeon that you're digging in or through the mine you're trying to dig through. Mm-hmm. And you can also reshuffle those usually for a small cost, not monetary.
Yeah.
They are constantly trying to sell you stuff, though.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong. They want you to purchase. However, they do a pretty darn good job of only showing you ads when you ask for them. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, yeah, I don't like it when I'm, if you're not going to give me a buy option, I prefer just a flat out buy option. It's like, give me just, here's my $5. We're done here. I play your game.
Yeah.
I don't particularly care for, the gems where it's like, okay, well, if you spend $9.99, you'll get 100 gems and then you can play for 3 hours or what. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want to pay one time. But if you do have to give me ads, don't make it so that don't make the game where it's like I'm clicking, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, you just throw me an ad, and then I click on the ad and I get really pissed.
How do you feel about being able to buy out of your ads? Like, for $2, you don't have any ads anymore. I do that a lot.
Well, no, buy out of the ads, yes, absolutely. Buy out of the ads, yeah, for just a couple of bucks. I do that almost every time. Yeah. Any game I review on here, mm-hmm, usually I pay for, $2.99, $5 usually is my sweet spot for most mobile games.
Yeah.
That's where I like to spend my money at most. But yeah, if it's like if you got like a monthly fee in a mobile game, forget you. That's not me. I don't do no monthly fees for no mobile game.
No, who does that?
I have too many interests. Oh, people do it all the time. Like,
why would they ever do that, though? A subscription to a mobile game? Whatever. I can't judge. People do whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, okay. If that's their thing, if that's their gaming experience, that's their gaming experience. They probably don't listen to this show.
Yeah.
But that's them.
That is them.
But yeah, Pocket Mine 3, they're fairly respectful about when they show you the ads, because they just stop you. So it's like if I run out of energy and the time limit hasn't finished yet, and I don't have any more energy, I can choose to watch an ad.
Yeah.
And continue playing, or I can just go, I'll come back in a minute.
Yeah, that's the hot. Close. That's the popular new method of letting you extend your time or whatever in these stupid things. But
right, and it can be frustrating, but yeah, usually it's just a really good reminder that I've wasted enough time. Brian, you've been playing for 15 minutes. Stop it.
I do like I like games where I'm digging. I like digging games where I'm digging down deep. Awesome. Trying to get stuff. What was that game that came out last year. There's a sequel.
Steamroll Dig 2 on Switch. There you go.
Yeah, fantastic game. It's also good on Steam. It's really good.
You need to at least play this Pocket Mine 3 because I'm telling you, it is very satisfying for the explosions they do. It's very satisfying. If you hit just the right vein of fireworks or bombs or dynamite or grenades, if you hit just the right thing, gas pockets, that's kind of cool too. Sure. If you hit this right pocket, it just like goes, just a chain reaction of just, you just feel so good. You're like, oh yeah. Kind of like the Candy Crush thing. You know, it's like when you get that right combination and things just start exploding.
Yeah.
We're very simple that way.
Yeah. I think they're playing off things humans like. So I get it.
Right.
Satisfying.
We like things.
All right. That's on iOS and Android. So go get it and enjoy it. Next up, I'm going to talk about a very old game. There's nothing you can do about it. It's my favorite arcade game of all time. Of all arcade games I ever played, this is my favorite. Brian, would you like to know what it is and why I like it?
I'm going to feign ignorance, even though the last episode you played audio from this and you said, Brian, this is my favorite game of all time. So I kind of know the answer.
All right. Well, the game is Joust.
It is.
You've heard it before. Here's a taste.
You're a fencer, night person.
All right, there's a guy talking. I don't want to listen to him. It is
your night person? Is that what he said?
He called it my night person. If you've played Joust, then you know what it is. You're a dude, a night person, riding on top of an ostrich who is flying. I guess it's an ostrich. I actually never knew what bird it is. I assume it's an ostrich. Anyway, you ride on top of him like a knight. You got a little lance that sticks out there, your jousting lance, and you poke at other birds. I don't have to explain Joust because Joust is an ancient freaking video game. It came out in like 82 or something. As a little kid, it was my favorite arcade game and remains so. It's still my favorite arcade game. The only thing I don't like are two things about this game that I've never liked. The two-player option is stupid because all it does is, accidentally or on purpose, you just kill the other guy all the time. It blows.
Right.
It's a waste of quarters back in the day, and it's a waste even now when you don't play with quarters. It's just like, why are we even doing this? They should have had a co-op way of playing it. And I realize arcade games are there to make, you know, they're there to make quarter money. You know, people are supposed to keep putting money in there.
So I understand quarter money.
Yeah, the quarter money. I understand why they're doing it, so I'm not trying to be naive about it, but I'm just saying it would have been cool if it would have been true co-op and not team kills, because it's just dumb. So I only like to play it by myself. That's number one. Number two, when you take forever to kill the other bird knight people.
Bird knight.
That dragon thing will come out. And not dragon, whatever it is. A dragon, demon, creature.
Yeah, it's a flying dragon. I thought that's what it was. Is it not?
It might be. Oh, there he is in this video. Is he going, rawr, rawr, yeah. And he starts flying across the screen. And he is indiscriminate in his desire to destroy all life. And it's, again, another way to have you keep pumping quarters into the damn thing. But getting good at Joust is one of my favorite things in the world. And here's how I'm playing it. I'm not playing it on, this is why it's significant today. I'm playing it on a 1UP arcade, one of those.
The one that comes up to Scott's knees?
Yeah, the little one, the short one. I got one from Walmart on that sale they had and I ordered it in July. They took until like 2 weeks ago to get it. Finally got it, and it's actually the machine is the Rampage edition because it's got Rampage artwork all over it.
Oh, but
it
includes, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like Rampage. Okay, I'm not the biggest Rampage fan, but it comes with this Defender, and of course Rampage, and what's the other one? Oh, Gauntlet. So Gauntlet's on here. Valkyrie needs food badly. That whole thing.
Badly.
And Joust is on there. And so, of course, I got the one that had Joust on it, because why not? They had a Street Fighter one and some other stuff, but I don't care about that as much as I do Joust. Nah. So Joust is everything to me, and I freaking love it. It's a real nice version of the game. And
But we want to know, Scott, we want to know more about the cabinet. I mean, the game we know so much about, but how is the cabinet built?
It's
is
good.
It solid?
It's all right. Yeah, it's okay. It seems better than what these kind of things used to be. You know, when you'd buy like a, go to Costco and buy a big MAME machine or whatever.
Does this feel like a real arcade cabinet, just smaller? I mean,
oh yeah.
Does it have?
Yeah, it just feels shrunk. Right. It's weird.
Right.
It's weird. And I'm thinking about, you know, I can repaint it. I'm going to hack it for sure. And load that thing up full of MAME MAME ROMs.
What's in that thing? Is it like a, I don't even know what's in it. What's in that thing? You know?
It's a little tiny box that I assume is like a little Arduino or Raspberry Pi right. or something. I don't know for sure, but it's like this little box that's like soldered to the monitor. The display is a 17-inch 4x3 display. Right. And it's flat, but the way it fits into this cabinet, it just looks like an old school cabinet. And just uses like an AC adapter for power, and there's nothing to it, but
it's called 1UP Arcade, right?
1UP Arcade, yeah. They're made in China. Right. They were some special deal with Walmart, I guess. They've made some other stuff, I guess. I don't follow these guys very much, but
what's the quarter experience? Do you pretend like you put quarters in? Is there a real attempt to make it feel authentic, or is
no?
It just
they don't do any of that. It's just push buttons on the front thing to add credits and stuff. They haven't tried to recreate that part of it. I mean, if I ever make my own MAME cabinet, which I've been trying to do for years, just the right kind of cabinet, my plan is to go nuts with it, like a coin box, and like I'm gonna put fake cigarette burns on it. And
I mean, it's a no-brainer, because I mean that would be a great vacation fund thing. Just you have the kids come in and pay for the vacation. It's like, come on, play a little bit.
Yeah.
Put some quarters in there.
But I don't know why. I don't know why I like Joust so much. I also really like Balloon Fight, the Nintendo Joust ripoff. We did it as a guess my game a couple weeks ago. And I like that too. there's something about landing
on
top
of like
of
almost a it's like a battle platformer. It requires, it really took a lot more coordination at the time. Than a lot of games.
Yeah, and it's just, very much got a bit of a high skill cap on it. And I used to just, I don't know, put my whole allowance into this thing every week. And I loved it so much. So I would recommend just finding yourself a copy of Joust somewhere, you know, legally preferably, if you can. And play that damn thing, because, you know, Joust never gets old. It's always a good game.
Well, they still have these 1UP arcades at our Walmart, probably all across the country. There's a big stack of them right in the middle of the floor. And I thought about picking up one, but I'm just a little bit apprehensive about being so short. Do you like stoop down, or you have like a little stool, or did you put it up on top of a platform or something?
No, it's I have a stool, so I sit on my stool there. Yeah, I have a stool sample. Right. Just kidding.
You have a stool. A little stool.
I sit on the stool. It's perfect height for me. The kids do the same because they're all tall now. And it's fine. It's actually a little small. I mean, I knew what size it was going to be. It's like 3/4 scale or whatever.
Right.
So I knew it was coming, but it was still soon when it got here. I went, oh my gosh, this is smaller than I thought it was, because I'm just kind of a big guy.
Right.
And when you're tall, when you're 6'4",
you're kind of a big guy.
Everything seems small when you're 6'4", weirdly. Brian, what is Tiskecor?
Yeah, good luck saying that name. It is. I just assume that the T is silent.
Okay.
So I say Sioux is Sioque. I'm sure I'm way off. This was originally a Kickstarter game back a while ago. It is a point and click adventure. You're a princess. Okay, so this is your classic story of the bad magician who takes over the castle and, you know, either kills the parrots and then locks the princess up either in a tower or, in this case, deep in the dungeon.
Oh, I like this. So the animation is great.
It is hand-drawn. It is a frame-by-frame 2D hand-drawn game. It's a demo, too, by the way. I got the real deal. I got it. I'm playing it. I love it. The voice work in it is so silly and fun. If you get a chance to play any of the audio, do that. But it is a point and click adventure game, and it can get a little frustrating because some of the, and I've complained about this before about other games, some of the things they ask you to do is a little bit beyond what I think the control scheme is set up for. So in most cases, pointing and clicking, trying to solve the puzzle, you know, okay, I need the princess to get out of the dungeon and get past the first guard. Okay, I click on stuff and activate things until I figure out a solution that gets me out. That's cool. I like that. But then when you have reflex places in a point-and-click game where it's like, okay, you got to click it in a pattern, a set pattern to be able to get past this part, it usually just doesn't work very well in point and click for me. And that's where I had to end up stopping because I was playing, I was having a lot of fun point and click and solving the puzzles. But once it required me to do this time jumps, the problem is the 2D animation, which looks fantastic. And it's kind of got like this parallax effect where you, when you move back and forth across the screen, it kind of breaks the game for me a little bit when they asked me to do like these ducks and jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because I couldn't ever time it right because it didn't seem like the animation was rendered in a fashion that seemed calculative, if
right,
you will.
Right.
So it got a little frustrating there.
Right.
But other than that, the characters, they're just a lot of fun. I like how they're drawn. All except for the princess, your heroine. I don't really care for her eyes. They kind of freak me out. But the rest of her, fantastic. I love the animation on it. It's a lot of fun.
Like the style. Well, this guy with a burning head that shows up at the jail there.
Yeah.
Look at that guy.
Oh, it is so much fun. Like I said, if you look it up, well, you don't know how to say it, I believe it's Sioque, Sioque.
Boy, there's nothing that's going to sell your game quicker than making it impossible for regular people to pronounce it.
Right.
Now, well done, guys. Well done. Yeah.
Well done. But it is it's kind of dark and it's supposed to be, but it's kind of humorous with you got like these, you know, these people are kind of, they're doing a little bit of mumbly work. And
I love mumble games, mumble characters.
I love mumble games.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's got very positive reviews. I think I picked this up on, did I get this in the most recent Humble Bundle? Monthly Humble? I think it might have been attached to the most recent, one of the most recent Humble Bundles. But it's very positive. I'm not familiar with Ono Studio.
Me neither. They've been doing stuff for a while, or we don't know.
I really haven't seen much more about them. Of course, I haven't really dug really deep either. Yeah. But like I said, I've been enjoying it. I want to play more, but like I said, I got frustrated with the timing issues, and I just said, eh. But so much fun. So much fun.
This is where,
up until that point.
This is where Brian got it. For all we know, they may have actually been a French team who did this. For all I know.
It could have been. I assume it is, because isn't that kind of like a French-looking word?
Oh, in fact, the game itself just oozes French style. There's like some of this animation style is very French. Like, if you follow any kind
it's
of French artist.
It's very French.
Yeah, which is fine. That's great.
Oh, here it is. Here's how you pronounce it. Yep. I can't pronounce it. It looks like it's
Sidekick. Got it.
Pronounced.
Sidekick. You have a sideache.
Right. I'm going to post this into the chat room, and I will let someone else who is better at pronouncing things, they can figure it out.
I'm going to give this to my daughter. She'd love this. She would eat this up. Oh, my gosh. She loves games like this.
Oh, I'd love to play it in front of other people, because there are points where you just feel embarrassed with your skills.
There's still times where she'll sit down and play like Machinarium over again.
Right.
She loves Machinarium and likes these kind of games.
Yeah,
which is cool. Let's see, we got a little sound here. Let's see.
Merry Christmas.
Let's see what we got. It's nice music. Let's get some I want to hear the dialogue from that guy. Here we go.
Made the castle their dominion. While the princess bravely fought, she eventually too.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like the narrator, but the funny part is the bad guys.
Yeah.
They just kind of keep coming, and they're just kind of silly. They're just like, and they get so mad. It's fun.
I like those. All right, there's your game. Let's spell it again. Sioque.
And I think it's...
Tesseract.
Sidic.
Oh.
Sidic. Okay. I think that's how I say
Sidic.
It. Think.
Side dick.
Right.
Yeah, I got it. All right, then. well done. Let's play Guess My Game, everybody.
It's me, Mario.
That means time for me to play a sound clip for Brian and see if you can guess what game it is.
Do it.
And Brian, it's up to you to figure this one out. Here you go. Guesses yet?
I sounded like the first character said, "Got it, Dad."
That is correct. Actually, the first one may have said, "Go get him, Dad," or "Get him, Dad."
Oh, go get him, Dad. Yeah.
Any ideas? It's an arcade
Kong
arcade machine. What other hint can I give you?
Oh, play that. Play just play a little bit again.
Okay, here you go. Hold on. Where'd it go? There we go.
Play.
Whoops.
Was that Lisa Simpson?
Yes, it was.
Was it Lisa Simpson?
Yep.
I didn't hear it the first time because it sounded overdriven, but the second time when you turned it down just a little bit,
yeah,
I just kind of caught it as it trailed off.
That's totally her.
So that's the Simpsons 4-player game where you stand next to a bunch of people. It's very similar to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah, it's basically the TNMT game or, you know,
the X-Men game.
Sure, Final Fight, all those games. It's a brawler, obviously. And, you know, Marge fights with her vacuum and Homer fight. I forget what Homer fights with. I can't remember, but is he swinging Bart around or something? No, you can play Bart. Or is
you can play as Bart. I think you can play as everybody except for, let's see, because there's only four controllers, right? Who can you not play as?
Because
that would be, is it Marge you can't play as?
No, you can play as Marge. You can use her vacuum and play as her.
So you can play as, can you play as Lisa?
Probably can't play as Maggie, but I think you can play as Lisa, Bart, Homer, Marge. I think that's it.
Might be right.
I think that's your playables. And it was really good for its time. So it was a fun brawler game. I liked it. I put quarters in that damn thing for sure.
Right. And it felt like something, it felt like something that was a game that was using, just using an intellectual property that already existed.
Yep.
But it didn't feel like it was trying to force it. It's like, hey, this is a fun game mechanic. And we're also going to put your favorite characters in it.
Yeah. It was fan service for sure. But. It's actually a decent one of those games, you know. Here's yours. Let's see if I can figure it out. I have no idea.
Wait,
what this is.
I got to figure out too. So yeah, we'll go.
Here we go. Brian will remember what he gave me.
Looks like you could do with some help with this one. I'm requesting more agents to help you out.
Oh, I know this.
Sit tight. The other agents are inbound to your location. Okay, now the girls are all here. Let's get to work. First, we need to entrance to the docks. The tactical location is marked on your tracker. Do us proud.
Okay, this is really familiar. Oh, this is driving me crazy. I know that.
Enter it and request air support.
Oh, you're gonna have to help me. I don't know what this is. Oh, choplifter.
All right.
It's a choplifter.
No.
Oh.
No, wait. It's not choplifter, but it does start with a.
With a what?
A C.
Oh,
It was a Microsoft exclusive.
Is it the mech game? The cyber police thing with their like mech cyber things?
Mech cyber things? Mechy cybers?
Yeah, they were like police mechs.
Right. Do you remember what it was called?
Yeah, it's the one that you, it was the disc you had to use to hack the system so you could turn it into a media center. Isn't that the game?
I don't know if you
Mech Assault, Mech Assault, Mech Assault.
No, Mech Assault. No, you're thinking about something else. I was actually going with Crackdown.
Oh, freaking Crackdown. I knew that guy's name was, or that guy's voice was familiar. I should have figured that out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was worried at first. I was like, oh, is he going to say it? Every time I was listening to it, I was like, oh, is he going to say something that's going to give it away? But he's
get in there and get cracking down on the Crackdown, he'd say.
Crackdown.
There's some crack here.
You're playing Crackdown.
Exactly. Okay, good one. Good pick. 360 then was what that was. The Xbox 360. I'm thinking of Mech Assault.
Was it the 360? Yeah.
It was definitely not original Xbox.
No.
Although, well, whatever. We'll see if 3's any good.
I'm excited about 3.
I was, but I don't know how I feel now. I think it's because they delayed it so much. I'm just tired of the delays on that one.
Yeah, the hypes.
Feels like they don't know where to find the fun in that, and they got to take it somewhere new. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know.
Well, done. That was a lot of fun. As always, now this. Time for a quick news story. Shenmue 3 announces final crowdfunding total. Shenmue 3 raised $7.179 million over the three-year crowdfunding campaign. Developer WiseNet revealed in an email to donors this week. The campaign concluded in September. Hadn't revealed the final tally until now. That means that the continuing crowdfunding raised after the project's 2015 Kickstarter brought it to about $800,000 in all. 81,087 people donated to the sequel. It's still, I believe, Kickstarter's highest at the time when they did the Kickstarter in 2015, it was the highest video game Kickstarter record holder. I think it may still be.
So, I noticed the first when they did the first Kickstarter, but I haven't really followed along much after that. So I didn't realize you could like sum that up. You know, like, did they have like multiple Kickstarter campaigns? It says it was a 3-year crowdfunding campaign. Did they do it?
Yes. So they kept doing their own thing after. It's kind of like Star Citizen does. They've got their own little thing going. So they did that for a while. I am having a really hard time getting excited about Shenmue. Because I think people have really rose-colored glasses on about what the original games were like. One and two were pretty rough games. And maybe they'll figure this out. Maybe it'll be the most amazing interactive game experience of all time. But I'm thinking probably not. I think probably
I enjoyed some Shenmue back in the day. But I'm with you. Not enough that I'm like, I can't wait for the next.
Yeah. I played Shenmue all the way through the first one. I don't think I played the second one. I played that first one.
Not to speak ill of the Shenmue. Obviously, people love it, and they're willing to put their money where the game is.
Where the game is, yeah. Well, obviously, yeah, this thing's like a huge success, and it hasn't even come out yet. I'm very curious about it. Boy, it's funny. You go search for Shenmue, and you get all new images from 3. You don't see any of the old stuff anymore.
Nope.
Well, there's one. There's a good one. There you go, like 3 polygons on that guy.
Look at all 3 polygons there. It's rough.
It's pretty good. So anyway, that's the thing. And congratulations, I suppose. And hurry up and make your game because I'm starting to feel like vaporware.
Right. I want to feel wrong. I want to go, oh my God, they were so right.
Yeah. You never know. I got an email here from a listener, Brodus. Brodus. Says this, Dear Scott and Brian, they sent this to boopshow@gmail.com. As for your space itch, that's most likely has disappeared due to RDR2, which is Red Dead Redemption 2. Have you tried Everspace? It's on Steam, and it's a pretty good space fighter, gatherer, roguelike. The crux of it is you're a clone fleeing from freeing from a prison and the Empire, and can gather both fuel and parts to upgrade your ship and allows you to keep going. I've had a lot of fun, but not actually completed the game. Thought you might like it. I bought this when it was in early access, and I already have it. So I think very highly of this game. I really love the use of the Unreal Engine. It's beautiful, space game. It's basically, what was the one, the 2D one where you'd go down a route and you didn't know what was going to happen when you got there? Oh, geez. What's it called, you guys? What's wrong with my brain? It was very popular. Their follow-up game was the turn-based mech game. Damn it. What's wrong with me? Anyway, that game, it was a huge hit.
House of the Dying Sun? I don't know.
Not Choplifter. Gosh dang it. FTL. FTL.
Who's saying Choplifter? Like, that's like the third time. Yeah, every answer, love it.
They think they're funny. FTL, that's right. The game. FTL was...
FTL. Oh, yes. I know
this
what you're
is
talking
basically
about.
This is basically FTL. In fact, you literally choose a path to the next system the same way you did in FTL.
Right. But it looks nothing like FTL,
no,
right?
It's a big, beautiful, realized world of detail and fighting and stuff. It's a very cool game. It's a little on the light side if you're looking for big, expansive trading, mining, you know, mercenary kind of stuff that I'm looking for, like X4 is supposed to bring me. So it doesn't really do that, but it does have this really cool, fun kind of roguelike sort of quick in, quick out kind of thing. And it's very cool. It's a very cool game. I would recommend it right along with Brodus. Thank you, Brodus, for your email.
Thanks, Brodus.
Yeah, thanks, Brodus. If you'd like to send your own emails in, you can. It's super simple. Just send them on in here to boopshow@gmail.com.
How do you send an email, Scott?
Super easy. You just click, point, poke, and shove it. That's it.
Shove it.
Yeah. My brand new email client called Shove It. Go get it now while it's hot. Get it while it's hot.
I gotta shove it.
You got
every time a new email arrives, it says shove it.
Yep, shove it. Take this email and shove it. Is how the old song went. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. You can go there, get all our stuff. Everything's there. Boopshow@gmail.com, like I mentioned. On Twitter, we're at boopshow. You can also find our Reddit page at boopshow.reddit.com. Hang around to the end of the show chat room. Some of you are going to win some prizes today, so don't go nowhere. I think that's going to do it. Brian, you got anything else you want to say to the people before we go?
Well, I do want to say this. Scott, when are we doing that end of year, man? It's already December the 3rd. We've only got, let's see, we have 2 more weeks before the actual Christmas Eve. I don't know if we'll be doing one that day. And then one last day of the year. So just something to think about.
Maybe we'll do it.
But and start thinking. I we don't have to do it end of year wrap. Well, but we can just do the end of year what we thought was cool.
Well, that's what I mean. It doesn't have to be every game. Just stuff that you and I came off the year loving the most. And
right.
What day is that final Monday of the month? Is it?
It is the 31st. It is the last one of them.
I hate that it's on a holiday. I may not be here.
Yeah, because it's New Year's Eve. So we have Christmas Eve and then New Year's Eve will be the Monday. So probably 2 more episodes of what's left of this year.
Yeah. I think that's right. We'll figure it out. Brian and I'll figure it out, and then we'll come on here with all our favorite shit. That's what we're gonna do.
All our favorite shit. Maybe we'll just have we'll just do an hour's worth of game giveaways. We're giving it all away.
We're giving it away. Suck it up, mother effers. We're giving it away. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Follow us on Twitter, Scott Johnson, the Brian Dunaway. We'll see you next week. Bye. Oops.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.